Praise God, it's an honor to be in the house of God this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 27. I was reading through a few weeks ago, and I came across a very interesting phrase, and then the Holy Spirit just started to speak to me. And I want to encourage you this morning. The title of the message is Contrary Winds. And I want to talk to you this morning about how to know when contrary winds are pushing you towards God's destiny in your life or pushing you away from whatever it is that you may be going towards. And a lot of times when you think of storms, recently we've had a lot of storms come through and they've been dangerous and some people have been affected by them. But one thing that storms do is they bring change into the area. They clear out dead. They bring rain. It's not always all bad. I plead the blood of Jesus. As soon as I see lightning or hear it, I say, protect the house, protect my property. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. I expect nothing to happen to my property. I don't take that for granted, but storms and seasons bring about a change. And so as Paul was going on this journey, as we read for a second, the contrary winds that were attacking him, a lot of times we look at storms in life and think, oh no, God's taking me out of this area or it's coming at me again. But sometimes contrary winds are pushing you in the direction you're supposed to go. They're helping you to get where God's trying to get you. And I want to just talk to you this morning about cultivating that atmosphere in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit to know the difference when you need to move and get out of the way, or you need to just stay in those contrary winds and that storm and just go right with it. And Paul gives us a great example in this chapter 27 of Acts into 28. But I just want to read a little bit here. Start with verse 1 and just to verse 4. It says, and when it was decided, Paul was being sent as a prisoner to go see Caesar. It says, when it decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So entering his ship, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. And the next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go with his friends and receive care. And we had put to sea there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And now the word contrary means opposite in nature, opposite in direction, opposite in meaning. But I put a little twist into the definition, opposite in nature, whose nature? Opposite in direction, whose direction? Opposite in meaning, well, whose meaning? What you have to understand is, yes, contrary winds change your direction. They bring change to the area of your life. But we have to understand that sometimes the winds of life, the contrary winds of life that are changing directions, can push us towards our destiny or they can push us away from our destiny. And we have to know, especially in the day and age we live in, church, which way those winds are blowing. Because when you step out of your door now, you are smacked right in, it's like walking into a typhoon or a hurricane. You are smacked in the face with contrary speaking, contrary beliefs, contrary ideas. But God may be using you to go right in that direction with those contrary winds and ideas and to bring a change into the atmosphere of where you're going. And when you read this story, we're really not going to get into this that too much, is Paul changed all those guards and the prisoners. God used Paul within this storm to bring a change into their lives. And so you get into these contrary winds and you feel the storms of life come and understand that maybe God is using these winds to push you in another direction that you should go. But you have to rely on the Holy Spirit and understand that. You know, one of the names of Parakletos for the Holy Spirit, one of the meanings is guide. We need a guide more than ever to navigate the contrary winds of life and storms of life. And we need to cultivate this relationship with the Holy Spirit more and more. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is there to speak to us and talk to us. And we must follow that in everyday life, in every decision we make, big or small, what grocery store you're going to go to. Well, how do you know the better sales over there? Or how do you know that God doesn't want you to speak to somebody in that other store? And it's little things like this, as you start to cultivate this relationship with the Holy Spirit, the more you obey him, the easier it is to hear him. The more you obey him, the easier it is to hear his voice and know and understand that. But the more you disobey, the harder it is to understand and the harder it is to obey him. So when God gives you a plan, you have to follow it. Nothing can stop you from reaching and completing the destiny or the plan for your life. Let's look at verse 23 and 24 in chapter 27. Now, it's funny that they set sail and then the winds happened. The contrary winds came after they've already set sail. So Paul was just going about his business. But look what verse 23 says. So if you read, we're going to go back and read some of this later. But right now, what I want you to understand is that the Lord had a plan for Paul. And he was going to get where he was going, and nothing was going to stop him. Verse 23 and 24 says, "For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you.'" So these contrary winds were coming. Sure, maybe the enemy was trying to use these contrary winds to attack Paul, but who's in charge? So storms can come, and the enemy can bring these storms in to try to use for his glory and his honor and to get you caught up and to cause issues in your life. But the Lord says, "No, I don't think so. I'm going to use those winds to help Paul get there. And I'm going to bring lives to Christ, and I'm going to change an island when he lands there, and I'm going to show my miraculous power." So the enemy tries to use these storms to start off, and God says, "No, I think I'll use it for my good," because he's in control. Because with God, all things are possible. Because the enemy has no power other than what we give him and what we allow him to do. And so Paul saw an angel, and he said to him, "Don't worry, you're going to get where you're going. Don't be afraid." Sometimes the plan God's had for you can cost you some material loss in the natural to get you where you want to go. Verse 26, Paul told them and warned them, "However, we must run aground on a certain island." So the Lord was telling Paul, look it, you're going to lose the ship, but it's okay. Sometimes there's some material loss or what we would consider important. Let's look at it that way. I'm not telling you to sell your house and live in a cardboard box. I'm saying sometimes things that are important to us that shouldn't be important to us, the Lord will take that away from us. We don't need it. Once they got to the island, they didn't need that ship anymore. And if you read the story, they got a bigger, better ship to get where they were going. God destroyed the ship. And you might think, "Oh my gosh, you can't take that away, or you can't destroy that. God, you don't need those possessions." Sometimes when those contrary winds come, the Lord might cause you to give up or take something away because he's got something better for you in return. And when material things become so important you don't want to give them up, that's when it's dangerous. No, we can't run aground. No, we're going to go around the island. No, we're going to go this way. Look, where did that get Jonah? Nowhere. It got him swallowed in a smelly fish for 3 days. It still got, he had to go where he had to go. And he tried to get around it, and he tried to go the other way, but God says, "No, I got a plan for you." So sometimes there might be a cost in the natural, in social status, in friends, in relationships, but if God's telling you to do something, be obedient to it, because you want to get where he has you going. Amen? The encouraging thing about this that always happens when we're found leading the Holy Spirit in the midst of the storm is that the Lord is always with us, and he tells us this. I want to read from the Amplified Bible, verses 24 and 25. So if you have it, you can look, read it with me, but I just want to read how the Amplified reads this, verses 24 and 25, and it says, and he said to him, and this is the angel talking to him, "Don't be frightened, Paul. It's necessary for you to stand before Caesar, and behold, God has given you all those who are sailing with you. So keep courage, men, for I have faith, complete confidence in God that it will be exactly as it was told to me." It's going to happen exactly the way God said it was going to happen. So the first thing we have to understand when we're in the midst of these storms or contrary winds is we don't fear. Do not fear. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, you don't have to turn there, but what does 2 Timothy 2 or 1, 7 say? Right. "For God has not," now everybody remembers, "given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind." We need power. We need love. We need a sound mind to get through this. So as we're going through these storms, the Holy Spirit encourages us. He's saying, do not fear. Is that easier said than done? Yeah. When you see a bill that's got to be paid, scary sometimes. When a physical attack comes upon you, the symptoms or the doctor's report can be scary. When you look at what's going on in the news, or sometimes you don't even want to leave your house or go anywhere and think what's going to happen, that's fear. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And it's interesting here, Paul here is reminding Timothy, don't worry about it. God has not given you fear. Paul was in some very fearful situations. And he's encouraging Timmy, look it, I've been through these things. I've been shipwrecked. I've been in prison. I've been stoned. I've been whipped. I've been bitten by a snake. I've been attacked. I've been accused. Don't fear. He was encouraging Timothy by what he's gone through. You know, as we go through things in life and we get through the storms and we get to where God has called us to get to, we can help other people and encourage them. Look, don't fear. I've been down that road before with my children, with a physical issue, in business, with co-workers or whatever it might be. You're able to help other people and say, don't fear, don't worry, you'll be able to get through. That's what Paul was doing in encouraging Timothy here. The next thing that verse says is be courageous. Joshua 1:9 says, be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid. You know, sometimes the fear comes in. Okay, we can lick that, but we need courage to keep going. The Lord is our source of strength and courage. And more, like I said, we need courage to step out of our front door. We need courage to walk on our jobs. Our children need courage to go into schools and walk through schools and stand up for what is right. We need courage to talk to our unsaved loved ones. We need courage to walk into a doctor's office and know that the Bible says that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm already healed. That takes courage to say that, to deal with what the enemy's trying to throw at us within these winds. Have faith, Paul says. Have confidence. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11:3. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were formed and framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We need faith more than ever to look at a situation that we don't see the outcome that God's promising. God told Paul, you're going to Caesar no matter what. I'm going to get you there. I need you to get there. And so within this contrary storm, it probably didn't look so good that he was going to make it. Listening to the prisoners, listening to the guards, panicking, throwing stuff overboard, threatening to throw them overboard. But by faith, we see what's not visible, but understand what God has promised us. By faith is the language of heaven. We know what God has promised us as believers, to have life more abundantly, to walk in health, to be prosperous, to have more than enough in every area of our lives, to be blessed going in and coming out, to have faith in God. Because with God, all things are possible. So the Holy Spirit causes us not to fear, to be courageous, to have faith, to have confidence. Our confidence comes from our faith. You know, it's like a baseball player when he steps up to the plate. If he doesn't have confidence and faith that he's going to hit the ball, guess what? He's not hitting it. When a baseball player is on a hot streak, the best pitcher in the league can't throw anything by him. Doesn't matter. They're so in tune with what's going on. In your spiritual life, faith brings that confidence. Because you're visualizing, any great athlete will tell you, they visualize what they're doing. And faith in your life gives you the confidence to visualize, I'm going to get through this storm and I'm going to get where God's told me to go. Now, does that mean every game you're great? No. That's faith that, look, it didn't go this way this time, but I'm going out and I'm going to do it that way again. That's confidence, that faith. The devil knocks you down, have the faith and confidence to get right back up and say, I'm going to see Caesar and nothing's going to stop me. God promised me elevation on my job. God promised me health in my body. God promised me my children are going to serve the Lord all the days of their life. God promised me my spouse is going to be saved. God promised me my unsaved loved ones are going to come to Christ. That's the faith and confidence that the Holy Spirit gives us in the midst of these contrary winds. Don't allow the enemy, like I encourage you, don't come into the house of God and allow the enemy to steal 1 second. Whether you're dealing with something in your mind, something somebody said, something on the job, your physical body, your family, don't let the enemy rob 1 second of your time in the presence of God, in the house of God, and then carry that out into your own personal life. Don't let him rob 1 second. We as believers should never allow him to take 1 second of our time. Amen? Amen. Speak only faith words, James 3:4. So Paul was speaking faith into these prisoners and the soldiers, saying, look, don't worry, the angel said we're going to get there. You know, they weren't believers. What did Paul know? You know, when you read the story, Paul said, don't take that ship, it's not going to make it. And they're like, why are we going to listen to you? We're going to listen to the captain. Okay, I'll see what happens. It didn't make it in one piece. But that was God's plan all along. Sometimes when the world's looking at us, they're like, what do you know? You know everything. Because with God, all things are possible. You have life inside your words, inside your confession. And so we need to speak faith words. James, it's very interesting here in James 3:4-10, he uses the example of what about the tongue? A ship. The tongue moves a ship. Let's look at what James 4:10 says here. Look at also ships, although they are large and driven by fierce winds, they're turned by a very small rudder. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. So speak only faith words. James uses this example of how powerful our words are, that they can turn a ship. Confessing and speaking words of faith will steer the ship of life through these contrary winds to get you where God has called you to go. But if you start complaining about the winds and complaining about the storm and complaining about other people and complaining about other employees and complaining about your wife or your kids, watch what you say, because that's exactly what's going to steer that ship. And even though those contrary winds are trying to take you where you want to go, you can delay that, and it costs more. And it wastes time. So speak faith words only. That's what Paul was doing to encourage the crew. He was speaking faith words. The last one is follow instructions. Trust the Lord no matter what it costs in the natural. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. We need to follow the instructions of the Lord. Again, it goes back to sometimes it costs you something in the natural. God's not in the business of subtracting from you and taking away from you. But sometimes we put things way more important than God. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to knock that out for you. If something in your life becomes more important than God, he will move it right out of the way. Because most of the time you don't need it. And it might be something that you enjoy to do, but if it becomes more important than God, you got to get it back in line. When God's telling you to serve and give more of yourself, and you come up with all these excuses, well, I don't want to do this, or don't allow something else to become more important. God will move it out of the way, and then you'll have no choice. But if you enjoy to do something, put it in moderation, put it in order, then you can do both. There's a balance, and in our spiritual lives, we need that balance. Or God just moves it out of the way. So follow God's instruction no matter what the cost, because there is a blessing to follow. Look at Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man, and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. So when you start doing your own thing, not following God's instructions, you're making your flesh more important and your strength. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see the good that comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabitable. Does anybody want to be in that spot in their life? But verse 7 says, blessed is the man. So you can be cursed or blessed when you follow God's instructions. God's not cursing anybody, but the choices you make will bring curses upon yourself. It's not God. Choose this day who you'll serve. Choose life and not death every single day. God doesn't move. We move from God. And so you have to understand, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like the tree planted by waters which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of the drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, who follows God's instruction. You could read verse after verse in Proverbs and Psalms about following God's instructions and God's godly wisdom, and hold on to it and wear it around your neck and don't forget it, because it brings hope and help to you. Don't allow the enemy to think that when something kind of goes wrong, oh, here we go, the enemy's after us. If you know where you're supposed to be and the path you're supposed to go on, follow God's instructions. Trust he'll take care of it. But we have to have faith and know, okay, God, you said you were going to take care of it, so you're going to take care of it. And you may be faced with same situations. You hear a doctor's report, you see a business numbers go down or things happen. If you're following God's instructions, trust him, he'll take care of it. Because in the end, does it matter how the bill gets paid? Does it matter how the healing comes? Does it matter how you got there and you saw the victory on the other side? Do you go back and go, I remember when I was really upset. That was not fun. I didn't like that. No, you rejoice in the victory. You rejoice in the outcome. So it doesn't matter how you get there. As long as you follow God's instructions, trust him no matter what it costs you, maybe in the natural, so it may cost a little more. Thank God we're blessed that we'll be able to do it anyway. And God will supply our needs according to his riches and glory. Our faith and trust is not in the stock market or the trade of what's going on. Don't fear and don't worry. If you're tithing and giving and sowing to the house of God, you don't need to worry about the world economy. I got news for you. Look at the story of Joseph. He just did what God told him to do and took care of an entire nation of Egypt and Israel. When everything was in famine, they had more than enough. Why? Following God's instructions, trusting in him, and doing what God's telling you to do. Just follow God's instructions, church. Trust him. God will take care of it. Amen? You know, Paul saw an angel. Hearing the voice of the Lord and seeing a vision would be wonderful. How many agree with that? How many would you like, every time you need to do something tough, an angel comes into your bedroom, you hear, ah, wouldn't that be awesome? Come in and tell me what you need me to do. When you really want to see the presence of God, just be obedient, rely on the Lord to speak to you. Things happen different ways. I'm 46 years old. I have never heard the audible voice of God. I have never seen a vision in my entire life. But what I can tell you is I know how to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, which is strong and alive in me, that I don't need to say, well, yeah, God, you told me to do that, but I'd rather see a vision, so I'm going to wait for that. But the Lord can trust me to know his voice from listening to it. Like I said in the beginning, the more you obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, the easier it is to hear and understand him. You know, the greatest thing that God did for us was give his son for eternal, to have, so we can have eternal life. But the second greatest asset he gave us was the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside of each and every one of us. He's given to us as an asset, and it's something that we need to make sure that we cultivate and listen. And it starts with the little things and understanding it. And as you obey it, it gets stronger and more prominent. Well, you know when the Holy Spirit's talking to you. Like I say all the time, I know when my wife, the tone of her voice, if I'm in trouble or not. My kids know. Our youth kids know. That's a relationship. That's cultivating. That's spending time with. That's listening. I better listen this time because last time I got yelled at. The same thing with the Holy Spirit. I hear that voice. I know it's something I have to pay attention to. And that comes from that relationship of cultivating it and listening, not hearing it and going, I don't want to do that. I already did that. I don't want to do it again. And having that urge and that tug. No, I've been there. I've fought it. I don't want to do that. I don't want to say that. That's uncomfortable. You know, we spent our second half of the summer up at EOC in Saratoga, helping in their soup kitchen, and the kids were awesome. We reorganized their entire stock room. They rent space from the church up there, and the boys, man, big cans. We tore the whole room apart, put it back. They were serving in that place, and the lady that was there hurt her shoulder, burned her arm. She's just a faithful lady that cooks, I don't know, 100 meals a day. They have people come through the door every day that they cook a hot meal for. And Nikki goes, let's pray for her. And it was like, yeah, okay, let's do it. But then you start to look around, and there was a lot of people around. And then you start to think, is she going to receive it? She's not a Christian, blah, blah. So that lasted like 1.2 seconds. So we said, we were saying goodbye to her. And Nikki said, can we pray for you? And there was another lady standing next to her. And her eyes got really big. And she's like, definitely. And then the lady was standing there. And Nikki's like, would you like to jump in? She's like, yes, I would. And we just held hands, and we prayed for healing, just prayed the word of God, and when we opened our eyes, both of them were like crying. From the presence of God, from just being obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. So we know, pray for that person. And it's funny, like I said, in that one little second of time, you argue for a second. I'm uncomfortable, I don't want to do this, what if they're not going to receive it? Doesn't matter. Just be obedient to the Holy Spirit and he will use you. And we're going to believe that's an open door for her maybe to go back to church or inquire more about a relationship with the Lord because she felt the power of God with us standing there. We carry the power of God everywhere we go. It's important that we listen to the Holy Spirit and be obedient to him. Amen? So let's look at, we must be confident that these facts always remain true and constant if we're to live our life by the principles that never waver to see God's plan unfold for our life. So God gives us a few things. And I want to share them with you. You know, how do you get to the point where you're able to identify whether the winds of life are contrary or not? But how do we know? How do you identify? Maybe you're a baby Christian. Maybe you struggle with this. Maybe the Holy Spirit is something you're still trying to learn to cultivate. Or maybe you've been doing it for a long time and you're not listening anymore. You know, sometimes we take for granted what the Holy Spirit's telling us because we've been there and we've done that. So how do we know and identify it? The first thing, Always move in godly wisdom and don't be fooled by how it looks or feels or sounds. Do not go by what it looks like, what it feels like, what it sounds like. So if we look at verse 13, back in 27, it says, when the south winds blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, we put out to sea and they sailed close to Crete. But not long after that, a tempestuous headwind arose called a nor'easter. Oh, they know what that's like out there too, huh? So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Claudia, we secured the skiff with difficulty. And when they had taken it on board, they used the cables to undergird the ship, fearing that they should run aground on Sandus. They struck sail, and we were driven again. And because we were exceedingly a tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. And on the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither the sun nor the stars appeared for many days, no small tempest beat on us. All hope we had been saved was finally given up. But after a long absence from food, so Paul is fasting, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred a disaster and loss. So, and we know, we read that he tells them that he met an angel. So don't go by what's happening in the natural. So all this stuff is happening and all the sights and sounds that they're seeing, but Paul encourages them, look it, we have to go through this. So Paul knows these contrary winds that seem to be bad for them were really driving them where they still needed to go. And nothing was going to change that. So when we step out of God's will before it's time, we give the enemy full control to drive us to places we don't want to go. So if they had done what they wanted to do and they listened to Paul, but if they had done what they wanted to do, they would have been shipwrecked in the wrong spot. Maybe they would have drowned. Maybe they wouldn't have got where they had to go. And so we have to understand that don't go or be fooled by what it feels like, looks like, and sounds like. We live in a sight and sound generation. Don't be so quickly moved by what you see and feel and hear around you. Make sure that you're using godly wisdom in every decision that you make. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, 19 through 26 says this. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and the clouds dropped down the dew, or the provisions. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. This is wisdom. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you'll not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, your sleep will be sweet. We prayed that verse over our kids their entire life growing up. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. You will not be afraid. Verse 25, do not be afraid of sudden terror nor trouble from wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So what does godly wisdom do for us? It keeps us. It doesn't cause us to be afraid. It gives us the ability to get safety where we're supposed to go. But if we allow the things we see, hear, and feel drive us, then we're in trouble. And that's what Paul was trying to tell these men in this boat not to do. The second thing that God does for us to get us to understand, are we in the contrary winds to go to our destiny, or is God saying, no, wrong way, let's push you this way, is there's no chaos within God's plan. Now, being around the ministry our whole lives, people, we see choices people make, and there's chaos every turn they make. And they say it's God. No, it's not. Does that mean storms don't come? I'm telling you, they come. We're talking about contrary winds. But Paul wasn't affected. He wasn't hurt. He wasn't injured. He got where he was going to go. We see time and time again where things come against the men of God, and they have to go through stuff. Do you think Daniel wanted to be thrown into the lion's den? But there was no chaos in that. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fire that was turned up 7 times hotter, that could seem chaotic, but God was waiting in there for them when they dropped down. There wasn't chaos, and everybody around it saw. So if you're going through something in your life and it's chaotic at all turns, take a step back and say, maybe I'm not following what the Lord is telling me to do. You know, we fight for peace in our home. We fight for peace in the body of Christ. And the enemy tries to go after that. So we understand if something's not going right and it's a little chaotic, we take a step back and is this really the turn God wanted us to take? And most of the time when there's that chaos, we see, oh, wait, that was a left we were supposed to take instead of a right. Let's get back on track. And then within the storm and the contrary winds, there's peace. The chaos may be all around us, but it doesn't affect us to where we doubt God, to where we don't think it's going to happen. How many times do you think Paul could have said, was that an angel or did I make that up? Who really told me to go through all this? So there's no chaos in God's plan. Let's look at verse 27 and 29 back in Acts. I should tell you to keep your finger there because we're going to have to keep going back. Verses 27 and 29. Now when the 14th night had come, and as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they took soundings again and took it to be 15 fathoms. Verse 29. And then fearing lest they should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. So out of chaos, they just dropped anchors. Instead of understanding and knowing that within this chaotic period, they should have just listened and said, you know what? Paul said we're going to get there, but they didn't listen. They just did it what they thought, oh, the depth's getting shallower and shallower. What if there was a channel for them in there to go all the way in? So in this chaos, they started to react. We have to make sure that we don't react within the chaos of our lives. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for God knows the plans that he thinks for us. Plans of a bright future, plans of peace. So within God's plan, within his contrary winds, there's no chaos. So if you're caught in this whirlwind and it's always chaotic, always chaotic, always chaotic, the winds might be taking you in the wrong direction. That's one way to know and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what's going on? And when you ask the Holy Spirit, he'll show you. I told you to do that back there. Oh, you'll see immediately the chaos will stop affecting you. You could still be in the storm all around you, but will not affect you and not be chaotic. You'll have peace when everybody else doesn't. And the world thinks there's something wrong with you. How can you be peaceful? You're going to the doctor today. How can you be peaceful? This is happening to you, you know, your loved ones. How can you be peaceful? What's going on? Because I know that I'm in God's plan. I'm peaceful. I'm moving forward. So there's an atmosphere where you say, chaos? Uh-uh. We're gonna just get it to the right order. And that's what you have to do. But if you're feeling that chaos and it's continuing to happen and it's affecting you physically, spiritually, that's the contrary winds pushing you in the wrong direction. Because there's no chaos in God. There's storms, there's trials, there's tribulations. I wish I could tell you that doesn't happen. But there's peace within those trials and tribulations. Amen. We're going to look at that in a minute. So that's one way to know. Another one, God is not double-minded. Verses 30 and 31. And the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship when they had let down the skiff into the sea under the pretense of putting out anchors from the prow. But Paul said to them, unless these men stay in the ship, they won't be saved. So what Paul's saying is, look, you think you're doing the right thing, but you're being double-minded. I said this ship is going to go where it needs to go. God is not double-minded. James 5:3, we don't have to turn there, talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's like a wave being tossed around. God's not double-minded. If God speaks you to do something, you do it and you move forward with it. If God's not telling you to do it, and one day after you make that decision, all this chaos comes in and all this stuff starts to happen to you and you're like, how did that happen? God's not double-minded. You're allowing your own desires and your flesh to make you confused. Ask the Holy Spirit what you're supposed to do. Paul was telling these guys, don't leave this ship. If you do, you're going to die. And they were scared because it was being smashed into the rocks and the storm was coming. And they're thinking, well, this is what I should do. But Paul gave them the plan. Look, we're going to get where we're going to go. Don't be double-minded. Don't change your mind by circumstances of what's going on around you. Amen? The next one we know, God cannot lie. No matter how bad it looks or feels, if he said it, he'll do it. God is not a man that he should lie. That's what it says in Hebrews 6:18. Let's look at 39 through 44. And it says, when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed the bay with the beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And then they let go of the anchors and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, loosening the rudder ropes, they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground and the prow struck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up in the violent waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim could jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely. So isn't that amazing that they did follow the plan, and even some of them that couldn't swim still found a way to shore, still able to do that. So God cannot lie. What did the angel tell Paul? You're going to get, now this isn't to Caesar, this isn't to the island of Malta, they're still not to their final destination. But they got where they were going safely, and then we're not going to get there, but they were able to go meet Caesar eventually. So God doesn't lie. If he said he's going to do something, hold fast to it. If the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, don't be double-minded. Don't move in chaos. Say, okay, God, this is what you promised me. You're not lying to me. This is what's going to happen. And we can see that now I'm sure the faith of these men are starting to say, hey, this guy really does know what he's talking about. We survived. Paul told us the boat was going to be destroyed, but we'd all live. Now, when you think of that in natural, how can that be? If your boat's destroyed in a storm, how do you live? Because God can't lie. And he said he was going to get them there. And his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher and deeper. He's got a plan and can see further. He'll get you where you want to go. But again, like we said before, sometimes it costs you something in the natural. They didn't need the ship. They got where they were going. The next one, peace will overshadow and guard every word God speaks to you. This is a key to understanding how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and know it's him. You will feel peace and protection all around you, no matter how bad the storm and winds are blowing. Philippians 4:7, let's read that. Talks about peace that passes all. Our garrisons around us. And what that word means there, to guard our heart, is like having your own personal military force. And how many of you have gone through a storm, maybe you've been not feeling well or a challenge financially or with your children, and right in the midst of it, you just have this peace that you know everything's going to be okay, even though the circumstances don't look good. It's because God's given you a spiritual army to guard you and keep you in peace. So Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So you have this personal SEAL team in the spirit, the elite of the elite, guarding your heart so that you're not dismayed. And it keeps you and overshadows you and hovers all around you. A lot of times if we were dealing with something, even in like physically with the kids, we would pray for just ministering angels and the Spirit of God to just minister peace to the situation. Because as you know, when you're going through something, it's not easy to hold on to peace. Your mind wants to go different places. You get frustrated. But when peace guards you, I picture it as like a dome fighting off the thoughts, fighting off the extra attacks, keeping you secure and protecting you, guarding you. And so peace will overshadow you. So if you look at chapter 28, verse 2, they escaped and they landed on the land of Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness. You know, I'm sure they didn't really like people coming onto their island. I'm sure they were kind of territorial. Think about early times. People would go to islands to take them over, to enslave the people, to do them harm. So they showed unusual kindness, for they kindled the fire and made us all welcome because the rain was falling because of the cold. So they felt kindness. What happens? Through this whole thing, they just were shipwrecked. The peace of God shows forth to show Paul and these guards and prisoners, look, I got you covered. There's peace within this situation. You're still going to get where you want to go. Amen? After peace, the next thing you will see, God's favor all along the journey to your destiny. Let's look at verses 3-6. It says, when Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out, and because of the heat, fastened to his hand. So the natives saw this creature hanging from his hand, and they said to one another, no doubt this man's a murderer from whom that he has escaped the sea. Let justice does not allow him to live. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up and die. But after that, they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come of him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. And so we see that God's favor follows you around, even though bad things happen along the way. So if you're within these contrary winds, you're going to see God's favor take place. And again, if it's chaotic, you're not seeing God's favor, these winds are not taking you where you want to go. But within these contrary winds that you may feel on the outside, God gives you favor within this journey. Do you really think Paul wanted to get bit by a snake after everything he's been through? Do you think he was a little annoyed? Come on, are you serious? But think about it for a second. What would you do if a snake bit you in the hand? Think of it in the natural tense sometimes. Here's Paul. All this stuff's happening to him. Do you think that he didn't say, God, give me a break here. Now a snake's going to bite me? But favor was showed to Paul as this happened. And so within the midst of these contrary winds, God, if God's continually showing you favor, again, within the storms happening, but you have favor as you're going along, know that these contrary winds are taking you in the correct direction. But if you're not finding favor and you're not seeing God's provisions take place, take a step back and say, okay, where's the turn I missed, God? What do I need to correct here? Amen? The last one, never try to change your course when you don't like the season your life is in, unless the Holy Spirit had told you to change course. You know, a lot of times we do things because we're tired of how long we've been doing something or serving in the house of God, or we've been there, done that. And we have these attitudes sometimes where we want to change the course, but God could still have us on that course and that plan for a little while longer. We have to make sure that we don't get out in the wrong season. And that happens when the soulish realm takes over. Your mind, will, and emotions start driving your decision-making instead of listening to what the Holy Spirit's telling you. Look, I wish I could tell you that every time the Holy Spirit tells you something, it's what you want to hear. Uh-uh. Not even close. But what he tells you when you listen, you will see provision, blessing, peace. We just talked about all the stuff that happens when you continue to listen to the Holy Spirit, even though you may not want to do it, and even though you may have every excuse in the world that's justified to stop doing it. You know, we can make up excuses. We can take the word of God and form it into any belief we want. There's people that tell you that once saved, always saved. It's in the Bible. They'll quote scripture and throw it at you. But when you're led by the Spirit of God, you hear those things and go, well, no, that's not right. That doesn't sound right to me. So you can take your feelings and your issues and your mindset and warp it anywhere you want and come into the Bible and find a way to do it. But deep down inside, you know it's not right. And that's what you have to fight against, because the more you do that, the quieter the voice of the Holy Spirit gets in your life because you're not hearing it correctly. And before you know it, you're way out of season going, how did I get here? How did this happen? Sin will always take you places you don't want to go. And when you say, you allow the soulish realm to make these decisions for you, you're going to be way out of season. So you could be going with these winds and God's taking you toward your destiny, and all of a sudden you start getting upset, offense, tired of praying for healing, tired of fighting for your loved ones, tired of confessing over and over and not seeing a change, like the woman with the issue of blood, but she still went after the hem of his garment. It didn't stop her. And so don't allow the soulish realm to be something that allows you to look at what's going on and drive your decision making. Turn to Psalms 37. Psalms 37, 3 through 7. And then 23 and then 34. So let's read this. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he gives you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice of noonday. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Let's look at 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by God, and he delights in his way. Verse 34, wait on the Lord. Keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. And so we have to understand, church, that we need to trust in the Lord, commit ourselves to him. Trust that he's going to get us through. Don't allow the sense realm, your mind, will, and emotions to drive you. Trust in the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Delight yourself in his ways. Understand that you don't want to change your course unless God changes your course. You don't want to change the season you're in unless God changes the season that you're in. And look, there's grace that runs out in all kinds of situations. But don't get out of the season because you're tired or you've done it or you think nobody's listening to you. You know, the enemy uses that against you. Nobody wants to hear me anymore. I've been doing this too long. No, no. You don't know the lives that you impact and bless the people around you. Stay within the season you're supposed to be in. But when God calls you out of that season, be obedient with that, because then he's got something new for you. He doesn't take you out of the season and put you on a shelf and say, I'm not going to use you anymore. He gives you something new to do, to be excited about. Amen. So don't allow the enemy to trick you or make you be unsatisfied Get over all that stuff and say, you know what? I want to stay within the season God has as long as he needs me in that season. That when you get to heaven, God's going to say, well done. You were where you were supposed to be, helping those people that you see on a weekly basis. Don't take it for granted. Amen. Don't become dissatisfied with the job he's put you in. Naturally, in the area you're in, if you hate the job you're in, but you still know that God has you there, say, God, give me peace. Give me strength to get through this. Change this. Say, God, remove those people above me that are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. There's times when God moves you out of your job, but if you know that you know you're supposed to be in that job, start praying and saying, you know what, Lord, I'm staying within this season. Take them out of the way. Remove them from the situation. Take them out of the equation because I know I'm supposed to be here. Don't be so quick to do that. Stay within your season you're in. Don't allow the enemy to have you become stagnant with the talents he's given you for his glory. So don't allow yourself to become stagnant and try to move out of the season, or I'm too good to do that, or I don't want to do that anymore. You better make sure the Lord is taking you out of that season. And if not, and you've gotten out too early, you better get yourself back in it. If you want to see God's blessing and you want to see yourself move into his destiny, amen? Or be obedient when he's telling you to fight for relationships that produce fruit, or be released from certain relationships that are not producing fruit. Don't hold on to something and relationships, times with people that you're not supposed to be anymore. If the relationship's not producing fruit and God's telling you to move on, you better make sure you listen to that. Because God will use people to plant seeds of discontent in you, discord, gossip. You know, maybe the relationship started off great, or, you know, a lot of times we see, oh, that person led me to the Lord, and, you know, I can never, you know, not be friends with them anymore. But maybe that person's not following the leading of the Holy Spirit, and now they're not helping in your relationship at all anymore. But yet we have this thing where we say, well, I can't forsake them anymore. I'm not telling you to throw them away. I'm telling you, you better make sure the relationships that you're in are producing fruit. Because sooner or later, that's going to start to affect you and cause you, it goes back to take you out of the season God has you in and move out from what God's telling you to do because you're listening to somebody else instead of the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The last one, do not allow social or monetary status to knock you off course or cause the love of material world to drive your winds in the wrong direction. You have to make sure that the things of this world, like I said before, do not become more important than listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, because that will change your season too. You know, my dad still tells a story of years ago when he was in ministry. There was a woman who basically was living out of her car and just was believing God for prosperity and believing God for a blessing in her life, and wound up getting married and had all these things happen to her, and then totally forsook God. And so what became more important? Possessions, relationship, status, and who got thrown out the window? God. This is the last point I want to make as we open the altars to spend some time, if you want to, in the presence of God. The bottom line is, in order for you to truly know if the contrary winds of life are taking you towards your destiny or away from your destiny, is a strong, close relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, I wish there was some earth-shattering formula. You've heard this time and time again. You don't need pastor. You don't need an evangelist. You don't need another Christian to keep you on track. You need a close relationship with the Holy Spirit to keep you in line, to keep you on track. Like I said, I wish I could see a vision or see God's face tell me what to do. That hasn't happened yet, but that doesn't stop my being obedient to the Holy Spirit. And again, if you need something spoken into your life, you don't need to call a pastor. You know, we don't do counseling here anymore. We say, go to the Holy Spirit. Ask him what you should do. Because we're not always going to be there. And a lot of times we feel like when people want to be counseled, they just want to tell their story. Tell your story to the Holy Ghost. And he'll give you the answer. But a lot of times people already know what the answer is. They want someone else to side with them and agree with them. It's not going to happen. Because that's not going to sustain you. The relationship with the Holy Spirit is the greatest asset you've been given. Learn how to cultivate it. Listen in the little things, like I said, where to buy gas, where to go grocery shopping, when to go on vacation, where to go on vacation, what school that your kids are going to go to, what backpack to buy, all these things. Listen to the Holy Spirit, and then it starts getting bigger. Go pray with that person. Go talk with that person. Go witness to that person. Join, you know, prison ministry to teach the prisoners. Be a Sunday school teacher. All these things it starts to cultivate as you start to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. But the bottom line is you need to draw close to him daily, listen to him daily, follow his instruction daily. You'll always stay on that course to your destiny within these storms. You'll always be able to navigate these contrary winds. I wish I could tell you they're not going to happen, but they are. The second you leave this place, the enemy is going to try to steal the word. You know, you could be in here and agreeing and saying, oof, sounds like he's talking right to me. The Holy Spirit's talking to you. But the second you leave that door, you can take everything that the Lord's saying to you and say, nah, not this time. The convictions in here, the change, to say, yeah, I got to do that. And then we leave and we quickly go right back and don't change anything. Don't allow the enemy to counterfeit that in your life, church. Be challenged to cultivate that relationship with the Holy Spirit so that when these winds come and when these storms come, don't be surprised. Say, God, within these contrary winds, blow me right to where you want me to go. Paul got right where he was going to go. And if you read that story, because of what happened with being bit by a snake, he healed. They were bringing people to him that were dying and diseased, and Paul used him to be healed. Don't you think that was a sign to the unbelievers, the prisoners, and the guards to say, yo, we better listen to this guy? And so along that path that he had to get to Caesar, with all the bad stuff that happened to Paul, he was able to be used by God to change lives. Church, ultimately that's what we want, amen, is to change lives within our obedience to the Holy Spirit, amen. So let's just close in prayer. As you know, the altars are open to just come and speak to the Lord. If you have to leave, we love you and we'll see you Wednesday night. But let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity of the Word of God, Father. We thank you that the storms and the contrary winds of life that may be blowing us, Father, we don't know the right direction, that we will yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit so that we can have peace, that we would know and understand every area that you would have us go into, Father, right now. We thank you for this opportunity to be in the house of God. Father, we take this opportunity. If there is anybody in this house this morning that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You know, we talk about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, as soon as we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God dwells inside of us. So upon salvation, so the world walks around without the Holy Spirit. The world walks around without the power of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide them. But when you accept Christ, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, nobody gets to the Father but through me. And when you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're immediately filled with the Holy Spirit. Your prayer language will come later. Your ability to cultivate that relationship starts to happen. But as soon as you accept Christ, the Bible says we are immediately filled with the Holy Spirit. Now we have the greatest asset, besides our salvation, to go, to do, to be all that God has called us to do. If that's you in this place, you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've never said, Father, I'm a sinner, I've sinned, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me, I want to be a part of the family of God. Then you start to cultivate and walk in that relationship with the Lord. It's not about the church you go to, it's not about how much money you give, it's not about how much you serve, that's all about being a Christian, but it's about accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, so where you have a personal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He wants a personal relationship. The Creator of the universe wants to be your best friend. That's what He wants. And that only happens by your confession and your belief in your heart that Jesus died on the cross to give His life for you. If that's you in this room and you've never made that decision, or maybe you have a long time ago and you want to rededicate or rekindle that fire, I encourage you, just come forward this morning. Take that step of faith. Just like Peter, who got out and had to walk on the words and walk on the water, you got to take that step of faith to say, I am a sinner. I do need Christ in my life, or I need to rededicate my life. I've gone astray. These contrary winds have been blowing me in all different directions, and there's chaos all around. I'm double-minded. I don't know what's going on. I want to feel that peace. I want to have that understanding. I want to have that wisdom come alive in my life. If that's you in this place and you've never accepted or you want to rededicate, we'll give you one more second to come forward to start or renew that relationship with the Lord this morning. Well, Father, we thank you for this time. We're so honored to be in the house of God. And Father, we just ask that the Word of God would come alive in the people of Harvest Church, that they would just apply the Word, that they would move in their destiny, that they would receive and get to where you have them going, Father, that they would just lay aside every weight, cast every burden upon you, trust in you, lean on you, rely on you with all their heart, with all their understanding, that they can navigate through this evil world that we live in, but we don't have to be a part of, we don't have to participate with. But we navigate through it, safe passage, safe harbor, safe travels, reaching our destination that you have for us, Father. We commit it to you this morning. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. Well, we love you all. We'll see you Wednesday. And if you want to come to the altar, they're open.